Welcome to the SB Nation DC podcast, or otherwise known as Half Smokes Radio. Good to be with you. Scott Jackson from SB Nation DC, columnist, sometimes radio person, well, a lot of times radio person for ESPN 980. Sam Chamberlain, the senior editor for SB Nation DC. Charlie Walton, SB Nation DC contributor. Gentlemen, good to be with you again. Everybody got their RG3 jerseys yet?
I was just carving his bust, actually, when I interrupted the drive over here. I almost got done with a nose. You know, it's difficult.
Well, it feels like we should be doing something that grand already for Robert Griffin III, but we talked about it a few weeks ago on this podcast. You know, you just want the guy to show you a little something early. We showed us more than a little something early.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I mean, best performance, only rookie quarterback to win on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly
correct.
Best performance of the rookie quarterbacks who made their debut on Sunday. I know part of our job is to sort of look for the other shoe, try to identify the other shoe, and figure out when it's going to drop. I haven't found it yet after one game, and that's certainly more than any Redskins fan could ask for. Just a phenomenal performance. He executed the offense to the letter. 19 for 26, I believe his final statistics were.
19 for 26, 320 yards, and two touchdowns. He also had 10 rushes for 42 yards.
There you go. Charles Walton, he's got it. He's got
first QB to ever throw for over 300 yards with no interceptions in an NFL debut.
It was better than you could have ever hoped for. And I think beyond that he can play, that he showed that, guys, the other thing is that Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, this is a big step for these two guys.
I thought they called a perfect game.
Huge step.
They started him off slow. They gave him some easy passes. His first six completions came at or behind the line of scrimmage. He completed his first eight passes, including one. They went for the big one to Garcon for 88 yards.
It was a big day for all the new guys. I mean, not just Griffin, but Garcon had the big catch and run. I mean, that 88-yard touchdown pass, that was like 70 yards of that was Pierre Garcon catching and running. Aldrick Robinson caught a touchdown pass. The secondary made plays when they had to. And Joshua Morgan got some good downfield blocking, and he was perfectly adequate at the Y spot. Just a very good day. There are hardly any negatives I can think of to take away from that performance.
Well, except injuries, of course, and that's always a concern when your long snapper breaks his arm. But you know, hopefully
you got one safety who Jordan Bernstein, who unfortunately, as Shanahan
he's
put
gone.
It, he basically tore every possible ligament he could human being could tear in his knee. But the Redskins, they signed Jordan Pugh from the Carolina Panthers. Well, he was a free agent. He was released by the Carolina Panthers. They made that signing on Monday. Signed a long snapper today. Tuesday, signed another guy, former Navy running back, to the practice squad. So no serious. I mean, obviously, you don't ever want to lose a secondary guy, but it's the sort of injury that you can plug with a free agent signing. You just go next man up.
Yeah, but this team, again, if they come out and lay an egg in St. Louis, maybe we're having a completely different conversation next week. But this was a very important step, not just to see that Robert Griffin III could do this, and I think we all knew that he had the ability, but the fact that they catered this game plan, they catered this offense, this is the offense they hid from the world, although all the media guys who saw the morning session walkthroughs in the bubble saw this time and time again, that they were doing a lot of this stuff, this read option, you know, out of the pistol, if you will. And it's not your typical NFL offense. It'll be interesting, guys, over these next several weeks to see how quickly teams adjust to it, how well they adjust to it, and then to see what the next steps are. Because Mike Shanahan laid that out Monday. He said, oh, there's more. I mean, there's more that can be done off this stuff, which is really exciting. I mean, what do you think? Is Robert Griffin III going to quick kick? Do you think he does? what else can he do?
Probably a drop kick.
I mean, he may run out, play some receiver, Cordell Stewart style.
Yeah.
I don't know, throw to himself?
I mean, what's going to happen here?
I think what impressed me about RG3 was the confidence and poise that he brought into the game. I mean, he didn't look like a rookie at all out there. It seemed like the game was moving slow to him. And I think Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan, you have to credit them for slowing down the offense and giving him some simple plays at the beginning to get him in a nice flow.
Yeah, and I just like, again, the fact that this has not been a group that's been known for their flexibility.
No.
Let's go back to the Donovan McNabb thing. But this was a step in the right direction. Look, and they have to make this work. I don't think there's any mistake about that. When you give up the freight you gave up to get to number two, you have to make this work. This is a nice first step. I know it's very early in this relationship, but this seems to be a happy relationship so far. And again, for a sports town that is used to the worst happening, I mean, even as great national season as it is, Sammy, you know this, people are still bummed out about the Strasburg thing, which happened over the weekend, which kind of got buried thanks to this RG3, euphoria that we're all feeling.
Yeah, by the way, how'd you like to be a Ted Lerner or the Lerners now that Robert Griffin III has debuted and proven to be more than the hype? I mean, you're going to get good ratings probably on Masson during the week, but
sure.
You know, if you got a playoff game on Sunday, if you happen to make the playoffs, you have to playoff game on Sunday. I actually did go back and look at the schedule. There are two possible Sunday home games the Nationals can play if they snag the number one spot in the National League. One would be on a Sunday, October 7th. A possible game one of the NLCS should be on Sunday, October 14th. Both coincide with Redskins' home games.
Oops.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be at night, I guess, is the good news for the Nationals.
Well, I mean, the NLCS game will be at night because the Fox has the NLCS this year. They're going to want all those games in prime time. The division series, I mean, they could put that out on Sunday afternoon. I mean, the 7th is a 1 o'clock game against Atlanta. The 14th is a 4:25 game, late game against the Vikings, both games at FedEx. So, I mean, that 14th is going to present some real issues for D.C. sports fans who might have to choose if the Nationals get that far, knock on wood. The 7th, if they have a 1 o'clock, they might have a Redskins 1 o'clock game coinciding with a 1 o'clock Nationals playoff game. So,
well, they're good problems to have. I mean,
of course,
they're good problems to finally have,
especially for DC.
Yeah, but at least it's not like Philly, where the stadium's right on top of each other, which is good and bad. It's good because you can get to both, but it's bad if you're talking about traffic flow. I mean, these are kind of separate entities in the sense from the traffic flow, you'd hope to think. But it will be interesting if it comes to that. But the Robert Griffin III euphoria, is something that is not just a DC sport story anymore, though. It is everywhere. I mean, you can't get away from it, no matter what NFL show you watch right now. He's the talk of the league.
Well, it's sort of like, I liken it to when Bryce Harper came up that first, month, and he really started tearing it up.
He
couldn't get enough of this guy. Now, Bryce Harper eventually got overtaken by Mike Trout, as we discussed a couple weeks ago. Now he sort of seems to have found his feet since we started to bury him naturally.
Yeah, we buried him, and now he's rolling.
Yeah,
so it's
of
good.
Course. That's how it works. So, to get back to Robert Griffin III, he is the story. He is the new thing. He is the very newest thing. He's the best thing that the league has going for it right now. In a league that has sort of struggled to find its feet in week one. I mean, apart from the initial euphoria of the NFL being back, the league really, it was a very uneven week one. I thought, and it starts. We have to get to this. It starts with the replacement refs.
Oh, it's a debacle.
Listen, the NFL prides itself on being a league where on any given Sunday anything can happen. I don't think this is what they had in mind when they came up with the any given Sunday slogan. I mean, I'll leave you guys you can draw your own conclusion about the replacement refs. I mean, would you have games going 3 hours and 45 minutes like the Redskins game? Now, that game had a lot of scoring, a lot of passing plays,
though.
A lot of penalties. I think, 23 penalties combined in that
24
game?
24, maybe. Yeah.
Something
24
like that.
Penalties.
23, 24. I mean, because the refs are just taking, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to look at plays, not even to review them, just to talk among themselves. Okay, what just happened, and what is the rule again? Did anyone read that section of the rule book last night? Would anyone study for the quiz they gave us?
And did you see what happened in Arizona with the Seattle game?
Oh, yeah, the extra timeout.
The extra timeout. That took a 10 to 15 minute break just to get the game.
There was clock errors in a lot of games. There's clock error in the Raiders-Chargers game as well. Clock error in that Detroit-St. Louis game. St. Louis got hosed on the clock there. So there's a lot of issues, and it kills me every time Ray Anderson, one of these NFL cronies, comes out and goes, no, it's fine, nothing to see
here.
Yeah,
no, they did a
these
great
guys
job.
Doing great. We're evaluating them. We love them. We're just going to keep rolling with them.
And you have people in the media saying that, the by and large, coming out, was saying with straight faces that they did a great job.
What game were they watching?
No. I mean, they're not. They're watching the same game as we are. But they, possibly they see different things than we see. Possibly they have a reason to see different things than what we see. I don't know what it's going to take for this to get resolved. Frank, I mean, there's a report from the AP that came out Monday that the NFL has made out an officiating assignment for the first five weeks of the season, which will take us into October. I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, I don't know what it will take for the NFL to give up on this. The officials got ridiculed in the preseason. Maybe now that more people are paying attention to these games in the regular season, they'll see the wisdom of bringing back the regular refs. I think it's going to take like not even an extra timeout. We're talking like a fifth down fiasco, I think, is what it's going to take.
A lot of these coaches are at their wit's end, too. You notice, I mean, it's not just Jim and John Harbaugh who had everything. And there are other coaches that are usually a lot more patient that are losing it. Because I think in the preseason there was a big memo that said, hey, guys, let's let these guys
give these guys
feet
some slack.
Under, let's give them some slack. Now the games count. And money's on the line, and coaches' jobs are on the line in some cases. They're not going to be, you know, oh, it's fine, it's okay, they'll get better. No, you're ticked off because you got to be at your best. Your fans expect you to be at your best. Your owner expects you to be at the best. These officials better be at their best, and they're not, and that's a problem, big time.
Well, the other thing, it's become, you know how the NBA always officials always get a rap for call for each crew calling a
sure.
game differently? Well, now the NFL has the same problem because
totally,
you don't
yeah.
know
who's being biased.
Oh, it's not about a question of bias. It's just a question of how they interpret the rules. I mean, I'll give you an
Nobody
example.
Nobody calls holding, it doesn't seem.
Exactly. Well, I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth. The one, I missed the first game of the season, Giants-Cowboys. I missed the first half because I was at a social occasion.
Well, that's what you do. You're out a lot.
I finally, I'm a very popular
Bizarre
person with many
SB
demands
Nation,
on my time.
He's known on the town.
Yeah.
He's known on the town.
Got to do that stuff.
But I did was able to sit down and watch the second half. And about halfway through the fourth quarter, it occurred to me, wait a minute, I haven't seen a holding penalty called all half. I don't think. And you know, it's one thing. You know, and I understand the route. I mean, the holding happens on every play, and you know, you can't. You know, if you they can only call what
sure.
they see. But if you see a Giants line defensive end trying to get to the outside to contain a runner, and the offensive line is getting dragged along with him because he's got his hands on the guy's ass, I'm sorry, you got to call that.
Not to mention in the Packers Niners game when Cobb ran the kickback, it was clearly a block in the back. They even reviewed the play. And, I mean, there was no flag, nothing.
Well, initially they called it on the 49ers.
That 49ers. And can you imagine? I would hate to have been an executive at Fox promoting this game as, like, the marquee game of week one, the game of the week, because CBS had, the tennis on.
Yeah.
There's nothing opposite that. And it's getting hot, complete. And this great game that looks so great on paper is getting completely turned to a spectacle.
It all turned around.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
The other thing that I really, I'm not a fan of the league tightening the pass interference rules in the first place back when Bill Polian, basically, when he was still with the Colts.
Yeah. We got to do this for
Peyton. Used his leverage. Yeah, basically.
Tony Dungy as well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I saw a ton of flags for illegal contact. I think that was the one flag I saw way too many times.
With the regular refs, it was more or less a 50-50 shot. If a guy played a reasonably good if there was like contact, but a guy was able to turn his head around and play some reasonably good defense, it was a 50-50 shot whether a flag could be thrown out. And and pass interference calls did get missed by the regular refs. These guys, unless there's daylight between the receiver and the cornerback. Unless the guy has his head turned, there's going to be a flag for pass interference because the defenders get no benefit of the doubt, and I hate that about the NFL. I hate that it's become so easy for there could be whole offenses based on this.
No,
just chuck it up 50 yards, pray for a flag, and you get the ball first and on the one.
It worked for RG3 and the Redskins on that broken play.
Yeah, that was. I mean, listen.
Yes, it did.
If we're going to talk about the refs in the Skins game,
yeah,
they were. I mean, they were. I counted. Well, Deadspin's doing a feature now of calls that were missing each game. They spotlighted the pass interference on the fourth and one on the first drive of the second half, which I thought, the guy grabbed him with his hand, but if we're doing this show in New Orleans, let's be honest, we're creaming the officials for that call. Second thing they spotlighted was also in the second half, a spot play on fourth and five when the Saints had 12 men on the field, and they spotted the ball at the 24. The Deadspin said they spotted the ball at the 24. They advanced it 5 yards, and they gave the Redskins a first down. I thought it was like on the 24-and-a-half-yard line. I thought that was I would let the refs go on that one just because, when you get in the business of spying the ball between the yard lines, you sort of get into a question, well, when does the 24 become the 25? The other thing, I didn't hear a whistle on Jimmy Graham when they called forward progress. Did you hear?
I was working on watching
the game. So I was only half listening, but I saw it was 10-7 Redskins, I think the score was. And Breeze completes a pass to Jimmy Graham. There's tugging and he's not going down, and the ball comes out and everyone jumps on it, and then the refs huddle and they say, well, forward progress was stopped. I was half listening, but I didn't hear a whistle on that. I don't know why. I mean, if you want to, I don't know where the forward progress call came from. Those were the two big ones in that game.
Those were not good. And again, this was a problem in the preseason. They weren't blowing whistles, damn plays, and you guys hurt that way too. So you hate to see that kind of stuff. All right, coming up, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Patrick Reddington a little bit later on. He is our federal baseball blog runner. He's also the Nationals editor for SB Nation DC. But coming up next, we'll continue talking some football and Redskins. Daniel Schifral will join us, the Redskins editor for SB Nation DC. And we continue here. It's the SB Nation DC podcast and Half Smokes Radio.